Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast and the fourth edition of the Trans-Pyrenees Race, supported by our race partners, Pedaled, Tailfin, Komoot, and Peak Design. Day 5 at TPR number 4, and there is no change at the front of the race, with Robin Gemperla, cap number 1, still leading the way and being chased by Anatol Naimi, cap 44. If all goes to plan, come midnight, while they may not reach the finish, it's likely that they'll find their way to the Mediterranean Sea and the two-part final parkour that leads into Girona. Race coordinator David Eyre and the team in Control Car 2 have spent the last couple of days following the leaders over the many coals of the 700-plus kilometre raid parkour.
We spotted Robin Gemperla on the Col d'Anyez yesterday evening, catching the last of the light, before heading down to Tarascon ourselves for some dinner. But just as we were getting into the car to head to our hotel in Aix-les-Thermes, we checked the tracker and spotted that he had pinged very close by about 10 minutes previously. And we know from previous editions of the TPR that the McDonald's in Tarascon is a favourite with riders, so quickly ran up there and hoped that we might get lucky, and we did. We found him with a small milkshake, a couple of cheeseburgers, a Big Mac, and seemingly in good spirits, while slightly bemused McDonald's staff looked on as he came out of the bathroom and Thomas photographed him. A surreal scene, but one I think is like very much ultra cycling in a nutshell. Then this morning we drove from Aix-les-Thermes down to Aixat, where we found Robin and then in quick succession Anatole as well, resupplying after a very chilly evening.
Can you tell everyone what you're wearing?
A garbage bag.
It looks incredible.
From McDonald's, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's fashion. I think it's probably more just motivating for him if he sees he's coming closer. But I don't know if he's really down to catching me. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I would be him, I would be quite, hopeless.
Okay.
I mean, that's something I'm not so good at. Mm-hmm. Just going hard when there's no hope.
Are you thinking about the finish yet, or are we still too
far? Yeah, all the time. I wonder how to make it mentally bearable to still have to go so far. But I think 20 hours, maybe a bit less even.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I cannot catch him up, I think, to be honest. I like to think about it just to keep on going. Mm-hmm. If not, you just lose the ground. I don't know how you say that in English.
Yeah,
lose motivation to.
Yeah.
So we never know, it can be fun.
Yeah.
But I mean, we are steady, so. And so normally I'm really slow in races at the beginning, and then I just keep the pace.
Mm.
And here I knew it would be fast at the beginning, so I said, let's try to be fast at the beginning.
I remember after 66k
and 1000 meters of climbing, I was like 30 average.
Yeah.
I was like, come on, I've never done that in my life.
Tom here, and Control Car 1 today is going to be spending a lot of time, as always, around the mid-pack and catching up with all the riders who were close to that cut-off time at Control Point 4 last night. So finding out how riders got on, getting to CP4 on time, and maybe finding one or two that didn't quite make the cut. And I'm sure there'll be lots of stories from the events of last night. Right now we're right on the top of Col de Soude, and it's extremely windy up here. I've just had to find a little sheltered area next to like an old abandoned hut, and when I look out beyond that, I can just see mountain after mountain, just as far back as you can see, going back to the horizon. And it's another crisp, bright day here in the Pyrenees. Lovely blue sky with some nice wispy clouds, and that means that the mountains are kind of shown off in high contrast, stark relief. All of the contours and the craggy little ridges on the mountains are thrown into detail with dark shadows that are all blue and hazy as they go further back, and then kind of golden bright light picking out the highlights as well. So it's a beautiful scene, and there's quite a lot of riders around this part of the race. It's quite packed, so we've had quite a few riders come over the summit here.
Shortly after, Tom speaks to Daniel Zontag, Cap 71, who is keeping himself occupied on the bike by having a little sing-song.
Did you manage to get into the control point in plenty of time before the cut-off?
Oh yeah, I think arrived around 9 o'clock or something like that. That was the plan actually. Yeah. So got there, got myself reorganized, had a good sleep there. Mm-hmm. Actually, haven't woke up any. So slept like 5-6 hours, I don't know how much, but yeah, feel okay. Yeah, I had a, I was a bit down like 10 minutes ago, ate a chocolate, now everything's okay. And you show up.
Bit of company to have a chat.
Yeah.
And the singing, is that a technique to kind of cheer yourself up?
I'm a singing person, you know. So I don't know, I'm just singing since I was born, so.
Next time hopefully we'll find you when you're singing.
Yeah, there's a big chance.
And, are you finding it difficult at all mentally to think about turning around and doing the whole thing back again?
No. I came here pretty clear-minded and I know what I am here for. Actually, I don't really care about the race. Yeah. I would like to be in time, but this might be my only chance to ride here in the Pyrenees. Yeah. So I might as well enjoy it and look around.
Yeah.
And yeah, I see these beautiful places you managed to see me for me to see.
And do you have any highlights so far?
Oh yeah, well, I had a sunrise at Tourmalet, top of Tourmalet. I arrived right at sunrise 2 days ago. That was magnificent. And in Tor La Ordesa, I was surprised because I thought the Grand Canyon is in the United States. Yeah, but all of it is beautiful.
Paul Williams, Cap 84.
Seems like a lot of people had quite a tough night last night and expended a lot of energy on getting to CP4. How was your arrival?
That bit was all fine for me.
Yeah.
But it's just the steepness of the climbs today.
Yeah.
They've been 11-12% kilometres. And that's just been a bit more than I've done so far this week. And so, there's nothing you can do, you just have to carry on going, don't you? And you eventually get to the top, and then you go downhill, and then there's another one.
Yeah. So how are you feeling about that return leg now that you've had a bit of a shock on the first couple of climbs?
honestly, this ride is, it's literally up and down, but it's emotionally up and down as well. And so, if you'd asked me that half an hour ago, I was ready to turn my bike around, go down the hill and say, enough's enough. But a little nap, a bit of fluid. I got some really nice mountain water from the spring, a snack, and now I'm going to carry on for a bit longer.
We're having some lunch at the very bottom of the Bagargiac climb, which is the first climb that our rider is going to have to tackle on the raid parkour coming west to east, and we're just down in the foothills, very densely wooded area here, and we've been joined by a delightful little gang of horses who are just kind of milling around, munching on the short grass while we're having our lunch, and we're hoping to see the now only remaining pair in the competition, number 101, Toon and Yorna, as they're just making their way towards the parkour now, so hopefully we should see them soon and hear about how they've been getting on, how control point 4 was for them, and what their thoughts are for the raid.
We was close with the last checkpoint,
How close?
It was 40 minutes, I think.
Whoa.
So that close, yeah.
That must have been quite exciting.
Yeah. Actually, funny story, like, how it's called, the village before, I forgot it, but we actually thought that it was the CP was 40 kilometers before. Ooh. The real CP. Oh, so we thought, like, okay, we have plenty of time. I pushed the last climb, you know, like, really, really hard because it was the last push of the day.
Yeah.
I arrived at the end of my route, you know, and it's just a ugly roundabout. And I'm like, where are these guys? You know, like, shouldn't there be, like, some people around with bikes or anything?
Yeah.
And my partner was a little bit behind. And I went to a bar because I also didn't have any Wi-Fi over there. So when I arrived at that point and I'm taking my Brevet card out, I'm putting the coordinates inside, you know, like in Google Maps, and I just see like a flyover, like really 40k to the right. And I was like, no, wait, this cannot be possible. That's not possible. It's a mistake. So looking again, till I realized, like, yeah, we still had to drive 40k. That was the point that also my partner came. Well, he arrived, and I told him this, like, he could not really believe it, but luckily he was very fast in switching the...
Yeah,
how mentality. Do you say? Yeah, exactly, and yeah. Then it was a race, really, till the end, like, we pushed it really, really hard, actually, in the end part, but that was, that's, well, in the end, it's a story, you know, like, but...
amazing.
Lack of sleep is a constant pressure for our riders. Even if you find somewhere to rest, there's no guarantee it will be good and long enough to fill your energy reserves. Thankfully, that wasn't an issue last night for Gregory Garcia, Cap 100.
I stopped last night at the checkpoint 4.
Yeah.
And I slept like never slept before.
How many hours are we talking?
Not much. 5 or 6 maybe. But straight ones,
yeah.
Clear, clean.
Yeah. Has that been tricky on the race so far, of getting good quality sleep?
It is. It's the first time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'm a brand new man.
How did it feel when you got there?
I was happy, relief. Well, I knew after the parkour 4 that I could make it. So, I was okay. But yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
You're making things tough.
Tougher than you thought?
Not the climbs, but the intakes, what it takes from you to move on. Like...
Finding the motivation.
I have it.
Yeah.
Every day I just know I have to move on, but what it takes is great.
And how do you do that in those moments when you want to stop? How do you keep going?
I'm saying to myself that stopping is worse than it is now. So, go on. If I stop because I feel pain, because I fall down the first day, remember?
Yeah.
Then I will regret it. And. No, I'm not going to regret it.
While Robin and Anatole continue to battle it out at the front, not too far behind them remains third place rider, Manuel Rudaz, Cap 31.
Still okay.
Good.
Last yesterday, we left each other, the group, 2 minutes later in the downhill. Tick! One spoke broken.
Yeah, really.
the wheel is so like this.
Yeah.
I was
okay,
I
though.
Was like oops. Taxi. race done. But I found luckily a bike shop in Vannières de Luchon.
Oh yeah.
So I made 35 kilometers with a broken spoke, and then I could change it. Have you looked at the stars this night? It was amazing. I was too tired, so I lay down aside of the road and just saw the sky. It was beautiful. So So I was happy to be tired and to see this.
Further back, race reporter Tom speaks to Caroline Buckland, Cap 34, who, like many of our riders, is now deep into the raid parkour.
How's it been today?
It's been good. I feel like this is like, because this is the bit that I didn't do last year. I didn't get to this point. And I think this is really the best and the worst part about the Trans-Pyrenees, the hardest part, and the reason you do it. So it's been stunning. It's been the most beautiful part so far, but it's really, really challenging. I mean, it's things you can't train for, because there's nothing like this really anywhere in the UK. Or I'm amazed there's not more tourists here, because it's just so beautiful.
When you left control point 3, how confident were you were going to be able to make it to CP4 in time?
I was pretty confident. I just my strength has never been speed. It was just staying on the bike, I suppose. I definitely get complacent and I'll stretch too often and lose time, but I think as long as you keep going. I worked it out, and I've done a lot of calculations on the bike. It just also gives you something to think about. And I think I'd worked out that I could get there even if I cycled at like 14 or 13 k's an hour. And I was like, well, that is totally possible. I just need to stay on the bike and I'll be absolutely fine.
Yeah. Just found an Intermarché contact here, on the outskirts of La Rune. And it's, as always, a popular place for riders to stock up on their supplies. And we found a couple of riders here, Ben Chouillon and David Sanchez, who's currently sheltering underneath the little hut where you put your shopping trolleys.
Tom speaks to Ben first.
This is the time of day when I try and, you know, get ready for tonight and make sure I've got enough drink and stuff so that I can ride on a bit longer.
So the consideration there is that when shops close, you won't be able to get any fluids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, it gets progressively more difficult to find stuff, so.
Yeah. Have you found any water, you know, from like natural streams and stuff?
I've never taken from a stream. I've used various water fountains, obviously, and I know of a few. So that's kind of handy, but I don't sort of bank on it, you know. I don't just punt and then hope that I'll probably find a fountain somewhere.
Tom then speaks to David and is rather taken by his bike.
I'm really interested in your bike here. I was just looking at it while we were chatting. Yeah. There's no obvious kind of name on it or anything, but it's this beautiful kind of blue steel frame. Could you just tell me a bit about it?
Yeah, so it's a Rika frame. From an independent shop, bike shop in Lausanne, the city I come from in Switzerland. And the frame was designed by Marin de Saint-Exupéry, which is who is a good friend of mine. Yeah. And it's cool to ride a bike designed by a friend from a local workshop.
And he's also an ultra racer, isn't he? So he's got in mind the specific
exactly. He's really he's a bike nerd.
Yeah.
So he knows exactly how to design a proper bike for ultra distance. And yeah, I'm feeling so good on it. Like it's really comfortable. You speed on the flat, speed uphill. Like I feel really confident on it.
Great. Yeah. It's a beauty.
As the team in Control Car 1 continue to track riders on the raid parkour, they find Cap 63, Sophia Atwood-Appley.
So we're just on the Col de Marie Blanc and driving up. We've just spotted Sophia climbing nice and steadily up the climb. So let's go and see how she's doing. She's on the raid now, coming west to east, having got through control point 4 comfortably yesterday. Let's see what she's got to say. Hello, Sophia.
Hello.
You don't have to stop.
Oh, that's okay.
No, carry on.
Okay.
I don't want to break your flow. I've been doing this all the time, just
Been chasing people.
Walking
the guy
next
last
to people.
Year had longer legs. Just saying.
Wait, who was doing it last year?
Don't know. Long leg man. Daddy
long legs. I can keep up. How are you doing?
I'm living life. Yeah. I'm feeling. I feel like I feel stronger every day. Like my legs are getting back, because we don't have climbs like this in the UK, so you get into a different rhythm. And so every day that you do 4,000 meters of climbing like this style, and then have 3 hours sleep, crack on. It's like, oh yeah, I remember this.
So your body's getting used to it.
Yeah. I mean, like, this is what we're meant for, right?
Does that,
this is certainly what I'm meant for.
Does that feel weird?
No, it feels natural.
Yeah.
It's like, I always describe night riding as like shedding your human skin and becoming one with the bike. So yeah, it's another level of that.
So you're connecting to a primal animalistic self in deep within.
Yeah. It's like I am the bike and the bike is me, you know.
So you've reached symbiosis with the bike by now on the ride.
Yes, now we've reached that point. Or maybe we were always there all along.
As evening falls on day 5 at TPR number 4, race director Hannah describes the race to the finish, with our winning rider expected to roll into Girona overnight.
It's day 5 on the race and we're all eagerly watching the tracker, wondering when our first finish is going to arrive. So control car 1 are still in the High Pyrenees, watching that mid-pack coming through, and we're getting ready to catch them on the Tourmalet tomorrow. Meanwhile, control car 2 are waiting in Girona for presumably Robin to be the first finisher to arrive. We're expecting him in the early hours, so probably between 2 and 3 a.m. and we're expecting Anatole to arrive not too long after, although who knows if he'll stop and take a rest if he's no longer racing for that first place. It's been a really tight race between Robin and Anatole, particularly for the last few days and since that point on CP3, where they took very different routes. They've since followed a fairly similar trajectory, and it seems to have been quite a psychological battle between them in seeing who might sleep longest or who might crack first. And it seems pretty safe to say now that neither of them have cracked, but Robin has had that advantage over Anatole and just been able to keep that lead by a few hours. We've also got a fairly steadfast Manuel Rudaz who's still holding third place, and seems to be enjoying himself, according to reports from David's team on the road today. So it's been a really strong race from all of them, and we're looking forward to seeing them in Girona and congratulating them all.
Join us in the next episode when we should be able to announce the winner of the 4th edition of the Trans-Pyrenees race. We'll also continue to bring you rider stories from throughout the field as fatigue truly sets in and the unique challenge of the Raid Parkour begins to take its toll. Remember, you can read Stuart's daily race reports from the road on the Lost Dot website and get regular updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Pedaled, Tailfin, Komoot, and Peak Design.